Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. Colossians 2:6. Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Acts 20:32. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Ephesians 3:16. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 27, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Our subject for this evening will be the mystery. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our service this evening in our study, understanding again how important it is to be in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ when we come to study His Word. Many privileges have been granted to all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those great privileges is what we're doing now as we open our hearts and minds to the wonderful, magnificent Word of God. Before we study, we pray. And the reason for this time of prayer is to be sure that our hearts are in harmony with our Lord, that we may be able to properly receive His wonderful Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here again this evening to, first of all, express our thanks for the magnificent grace of God in salvation, and also for the grace that makes it possible for us to advance as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful not only for saving grace and experiential grace, but we're thankful too for the grace that one of these days will take us to our eternal home. So we're thankful for saving grace, experiential grace, and ultimate grace. Tonight we're here because we realize again the importance of advancing spiritually. And we pray that we will realize how important it is for us to properly receive the wonderful Word of God. We thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I begin the message tonight by telling you that God has been very good to me and to my companion to give us two girls and a granddaughter. That granddaughter is driving home today. I trust she's made it home from Trinity University, where she's a senior. I realize that over these last years, it's been our privilege to have her with us on many different trips. We've traveled together. And then you know that they grow up and go off to school and go on their own, and they're not doing that like they used to. When she was 4.5 years of age, she printed my name. I was very excited about that. So excited that I still hold in my hand tonight that wonderful presentation of her writing, R.O.Y., August the 8th, 2000, the first time Mackenzie wrote my name. On this piece of paper I wrote, she is 4 years, actually 4.5 years old. I appreciate that writing. To the point that this granddaddy carries this in his Bible. I appreciate that writing. I appreciate tonight also the writing that we have in this magnificent book. This is the Word of God. A magnificent book. One that I have discovered the more I study, the more I learn, the more I don't know, and the more I want to know. I'm sure that that is true in your life. Over the past months, we've taken a look at this picture, the Old Testament perspective of God's timeline. We've taken a look at the prophets as they looked over the period of time, what they could see and what they could not see. What they were not able to see was what we found in our scripture, Colossians 1:27, the mysterion. You see that Greek word there, mysterion. Those of you who are following along tonight in your Greek New Testament will be able to see that particular word. It is the word that is translated mystery. Last Sunday in your bulletin, you had Colossians 1:27. This is the way it looks on the back of your bulletin. To whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wish tonight that I could really tell you how fantastic and magnificent this verse is. I'm going to try. I'm going to point out some things to you this evening that I want you to be able to see. Colossians 1:27. To whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. I'm reading it slowly and I'm reading it a second time to let you see how unique it is. I'm aware of the fact that things change along the life and I'm looking for my pointer. I'm sure that it has been here and it has disappeared. But in the light of that situation, I can handle it in a different way. To whom God wished, the word wish there is at a point of time, the active voice, subject produces the action, the indicative mood is the mood of reality. Thank you so very much. This went with us to the fellowship last Sunday. That's the reason why it disappeared. To whom God wished to make known, and here's the word, to make known. I pause for a few moments just to let you see that this Greek word is G-N-O-R-I-Z-O. No, rizo. Let me point out how it's used. Again, the aorist tense, point of time. I'm pointing at two words. The active voice, subject produces the action. To whom God, the subject, wished to make known. Now, instead of having an indicative mood, we have an infinitive, which is the mood of wish or desire. I must tell you this evening, this is telling us that God's wish or desire is to allow individuals to understand, to comprehend what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the church age. If you look at the word riches, you will discover that it is the word plutos, plutocrat, P-L-O-U-T-O-S, plutos. Doxa, glory. Here's the word mysterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. What I've discovered is that I've said these letters enough over a period of time, many of you, without even realizing it, you know what the letters are. Mystery among Israel? No. Among the Gentiles. What is this message? Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, Christ, in you, personal pronoun, the Elpis, the hope of glory. What I'm able to see here is that we've analyzed it before and we look at it again. The age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the intercalated period, the church, the mystery, the rapture, the tribulation, the second advent, millennium. Most of us have seen this so many times, we understand. Colossians 1:27, mystery. Definition. The Greek word is, as I've said several times already, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, which means secret teaching. The Greek word mysterion means secret teaching and comes from the Attic Greek noun mustes, M-U-S-T-E-S, referring to a person being initiated into a Greek fraternity. Matthew 13, Mark 4. I'm going to ask you this evening, please, to go with me to the 13th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to give you time to find it. It's easy. First book of the New Testament. We're going to read. You're going to follow as I read. Matthew 13, 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And great multitudes gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. I want you to follow me and follow the scripture and get the pattern of what's taking place. And great multitudes gathered about him, so that he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. The birds came and devoured them. Others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7 of Matthew 13, others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Verse 8, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. Now notice, please, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Verse 12, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while they sing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. I'm giving you time tonight to really watch these words. God is giving us a message this evening. Jesus is speaking, and he's giving the message in parables. There's a reason for that. He says to us, the disciples came, verse 10, and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysterion, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Verse 12, "For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Now if you'll turn, please, to the fourth chapter of the book of Mark. We only read a very few verses here. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I repeat, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It's always amazing to me to realize that God has given us two ears and one tongue. That must say something to us. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, get everything in parables. In order that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return again, be forgiven." You may wonder what I'm doing. I'm trying to help you see that oftentimes people hear without perceiving. They see without understanding. The definition for mystery is mysterion, meaning secret teaching, and comes again from the Attic Greek word referring to a person being initiated into a Greek fraternity. And I've given you those verses, Matthew 13:11, Mark 4:10-11. The word in the New Testament, mystery, always refers to the church age and church age information. The Apostle Paul, as all of us know, is being used of God to give us this magnificent message of the church age information. The word mystery is used in Ephesians 3:2-6. The word in the New Testament always refers to the church age information. And when you go to Ephesians 3, beginning with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is not a wet baptism, this is a dry baptism. This is a dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, on the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that because I want you to be sure that you're keeping this in mind. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some weeks, months, or years ago, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God worked the miracle of transformation. and you entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death, resurrection, ascension of Christ, but all this occurred in the age of Israel. It was not a mystery. As I've just reminded myself in my own thinking, over the period of years we've given information about the church age. We've emphasized the age of Israel. We emphasize the intercalated period, the hidden, the mysterion. And I wonder just how much you really understand and appreciate about that. The tribulation is also well described in the Old Testament and not a mystery because it belongs to the age of Israel. The second advent and the millennium are also described in the Old Testament. It was not church age information. When I go to the book of Romans, I find the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, giving us these words in Romans 16:25. Now to the one being able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery, having been kept silent for long ages past. The only reason why I'm pointing this one out is to let you see again that the Apostle Paul is the man of God, is being used so magnificently to give us this church age information. And he tells the Roman believers, now to the one being able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery, mysterion, hidden, which is the perfect passive participle, and I'm translating it for you now, having been kept silent for long ages past. When I begin to express now the meaning of the perfect tense verb, some of you are going to say, I've heard that hundreds of times. And that's okay. I understand that you've heard it hundreds of times. But I want you to see here how it's used. I proclaim Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery, having been kept silent for long ages past. And here it is, the perfect tense, which says something that took place in the past, consummated, continues on, and is continuing on at this present moment, having been kept silent for long ages past. Point four, the mystery concept of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament, and the church is the fraternity with the ability to understand it. I trust you're able to appreciate tonight along with me how magnificent it is that God allowed you and me to be born and to live in the age of grace. This is a magnificent time to be alive. The mystery concept of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. And the church is the fraternity with the ability to understand it. Romans 16:25-26, in our passage here in Colossians 1:26-27. Number five, Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. Let's look at that again. Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. Jesus, the prophet, presented this magnificent concept which had not been presented in the Old Testament. Union with Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, not found in the Old Testament. Have we studied the indwelling of Christ? Have we studied the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Yes. But do you see that in the Old Testament, union with Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, were not found there? Number six, the church began with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This had not happened in all history before. Jesus announced to his disciples just a few days before the church age began. In John chapter 17, we read, I in you, and you in me. John 17:23. I in you, and you in me. This was the first declaration of the mystery. Now, all of us are aware of the fact that the epistles are the biblical concepts of the mystery. That's the reason why our studying the epistles of Paul so magnificent, so wonderful. Number seven, what I'm able to see is that the person who has the gift of the ministry is responsible for communicating church age concepts to the flock. You don't have to listen to this. This is a message to me. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. We find the word steward. We find the word dispensation. But it tells us that the minister has the responsibility, the gift of the ministry, he has the responsibility of communicating church age concepts to his congregation. Number eight. The rapture does not belong to the age of Israel. I'm letting that sink in. The rapture does not belong to the age of Israel. Therefore, the rapture is not found in the book of Matthew. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, follow those through into the book of Acts, get into the 7th chapter, the 8th chapter, the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and there you'll find the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. You'll find in chapter 7 and 8, the stoning of Stephen. The rapture does not belong to the age of Israel. Therefore, the rapture is not found in the book of Matthew. Two grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Two in the field, one taken, one left, refers to the second advent. Doesn't have anything to do with the rapture. I'm anxious to get into the next sessions because we're going to be dealing with this. People need to comprehend and understand the difference between rapture on the one hand and second advent on the other hand. You have to understand the difference in those two. At the second advent, the unbeliever under the baptism of fire will be cast off the earth and into fire. We'll get into that in detail later. Number nine, the mystery concept is always related to the dispensation of the church, the age of grace. Beautifully depicted in Ephesians 1:9 and Ephesians 3:2. Number 10, our understanding of this subject is gained by the utilization of the system which our Lord has provided for us, which includes what we call perception. Why is it that more people are not perceptive? Individual decisions, individual hunger or lack of hunger. In other words, we emphasize the filling of the Holy Spirit and the application of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul tells us about this in Colossians 2:2, 1 Timothy 3:9. And we call this the system of learning, which we call the grace system of learning. Or sometimes, through the years, we've called it the grace system of comprehension. We're trying to teach in such a fashion so that we can use words and abbreviate those words so that we can just give out grace system of comprehension, and in your mind, there's an explosion of information. That's what happens to us if we study and learn and then learn these abbreviated letters. God's system of learning, grace system of comprehension. How many times have we emphasized the fact that we have prayer at the beginning of the service. And the reason for that is that we want to be sure that we're in harmony with the Lord so that this system of grace can operate properly. In other words, if we're not filled with the Spirit, if we are under the control of our sinful nature, if the old sin nature is in control, we're not going to be able to comprehend or utilize or apply the things which we're hearing. But if we're in harmony, desirous of God's Word, perceptive to truth, there will be much of the information that will go into our innermost being and will begin to be able to utilize and apply that truth. It's at this point we emphasize the difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. Now tonight, I want to ask you, if you will, please, to go to John chapter 14 and verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16, and John chapter 14, verse 20. I'll not read verse 16, but I will read verse 20, which says, "At that day," which is Pentecost, "you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Please look at John 14, 20. "At that day," which is Pentecost, "you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." This is a prophecy of the indwelling Christ. Over the period of years, we've studied the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've emphasized this indwelling Christ. The indwelling Christ emphasizes the fact that as a believer, when Jesus Christ is on the throne of your life and mine, it means that we are cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, under His control, and we're in a position where we can begin to comprehend and utilize spiritual fuel. You can see the danger of a believer being in the auditorium like we are here tonight and being out of fellowship, under the control of the sinful nature, mind wandering in various directions. And so that person spends time in the auditorium with their mind elsewhere, and they are missing so much because they are not allowing themselves to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. That's the reason why I remind us continually, if we find ourselves out of harmony, to be sure in the midst of the service to get back in fellowship. "At that day," Pentecost, "you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." I'm trying to tell you how fantastic that is. In other words, God desires for each one of us to be able to see that Deity 2, Deity 3, all a part of the Godhead. Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3, all members of the Godhead have the same characteristics and the same attributes. Deity 2 came to the earth as the God-man. And that's the reason why we see in John 14, 20, "At that day," Pentecost, "you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Have I said this enough times for you to be able to see? Now let's get the points. Number one, the church is the place for the dissemination of spiritual soul food. I don't understand this, but there are some people who are of the opinion that they don't have to be a part of a local congregation. The church is the place for the dissemination of spiritual soul food. Number two, the original church is met in homes. Number three, the church was established for the purpose of spiritual advancement. I hope you're getting these points down because each one is very important, though I'm not spending a lot of time on each one. The church was established for the purpose of spiritual advancement. Number four, God has ordained that there be a shepherd teacher for the local congregation. Number five, when a congregation has grown consistently over a period of years, the forms of worship will then be manifested, which are grace orientation, gratitude, witnessing, giving, teaching, service. Individual spiritual gifts will also be functioning. One of the things that I'm convinced that we need to do, we're probably not doing it as we should, and that is to instruct people so that they can have gratitude, to be grace-oriented, to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand that service is a part of the Christian life, that individual spiritual gifts will be functioning within the framework of the church. Many people don't know exactly what their spiritual gift is. And my concern is, don't worry about it. Continue your spiritual advance. Continue to grow in grace and knowledge. And eventually you will discover that your spiritual gift is functioning, and now you're able to see what that spiritual gift is. Many people are crying out, "Lord, show me what you want me to do," when all the Lord is really saying is, "I want you to be something." Do you see the difference? The word church is the Greek word ekklesia. It's used five ways in God's Word. You want to write these down? Number one, citizens gathered or gathering for political affairs, which we would classify as legislative meetings. This is presented to us in Acts 19:25, 29, 32. The word is used in a political sense. Number two, in the Old Testament, the word was used for an assembly of Israel in Acts 7:38. Number three, there's a reference to the synagogue as the ecclesia in Matthew 18:17. Jews met to worship. The church actually did not exist at that time. Number four, the body of Christ is made up of all believers. Church universal revealed in Ephesians 1:22-23, Ephesians 5:25-27, Colossians 1:17-18. The body of Christ is made up of all believers. In the local church, there are believers and unbelievers. I trust that in our church, everyone in attendance is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church universal is made up of all churches of all different aspects and thoughts and concepts, but they have been truly born into God's kingdom. Church universal. Some people think they are, but dangerously unsaved. The church is used to mean a local group. That's the fifth way that the word church is used. This is a geographical, visible church made up of believers and unbelievers, which simply means that in local churches throughout our land, around the world, there is a possibility that in these churches, there are people, some saved and some are not saved. The church is used to mean a local group, the geographical, visible church made up of believers and unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 1:2, Revelation 2:3, the second and third chapters, 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Let's look at number 7. The church began on the day of Pentecost and terminates with a rapture. What's so amazing to me is that some people are of the opinion that believers, some, because of their disobedience to God, will have to go through the tribulation or part of it. I'm sure that you understand that dispensations are categorized and divided. So you don't mix the two. You don't blend one into the other. And so when the rapture occurs, all born-again believers will be taken out. The tribulation is the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. It's a separate. It's a continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. Number 8. The mystery character of the church is presented to us by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, Colossians, Romans, many others. Mystery does not mean unknown, but hidden in the past, but now revealed. Two more points. Number 9, born again Jews on the day of Pentecost were placed in union with Jesus Christ and baptized by means of the Holy Spirit, depicted in Acts 1:5, John 7:39. At the departure of Christ, ascension, the church actually began. Number 10, the church age ends with a rapture of the royal family. The following verses show that the second advent, the church will come back to the earth with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, Colossians 2, Revelation 19, even Zechariah, 1 Thessalonians. At the end of the church age, the bride in resurrection body will be glorified, just as at the beginning of the church age, Christ in resurrection body was glorified. I want to end tonight by sharing what I'm calling distinctives of this age in which we live. We won't spend time here, but I just want you to see it. I'm calling this church age distinctives. First one, union with Christ at salvation. That's a distinctive of the church age. Union with Christ at salvation. Number 2, universal indwelling of Christ. Universal indwelling of Christ. Number 3, universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 4, universal priesthood of the believer. 5, we have a completed canon of Scripture. 6, the supernatural way of life. 7, every believer is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I can hear you say it even though you're not saying it out loud. Would you go back and let us see those again? Yes. Giving you time, church age distinctives, union with Christ at salvation. If you're abbreviating this, do it, please. Union with Christ at salvation. Number 2, universal indwelling of Christ. Universal indwelling of Christ. It would be great if we present information on each one of these. Universal indwelling of Christ. Universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Universal priesthood of the believer. We have a completed canon of Scripture. The supernatural way of life. In other words, the Christian life is a human impossibility. We've said many times, it is a supernatural way of life. The only way you can be saved is to be born by the Spirit of God, and the only way that you and I can be victorious is to be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. A supernatural way of life. And the last one, every believer is an ambassador of Christ. Our scripture for tonight was Colossians 1:27. Let's look at it before we have prayer and go home. To whom God wished, desired, to make known at a point of time, he desires, it's an infinitive, which means a mood of wish or desire, to God, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches, plutos, P-L-O-U-T-O-S, of the glory of this mystery, mysterion, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. May we pray together, please. Father, tonight we're thankful that we are your children, not because we deserve to be, not because of anything we've done to merit this salvation, but totally because of the fact that it is a gift of God's grace, and we're the recipients of that gift. Father, these are wonderful times in our lives when we begin to even realize more vividly what you're doing in our lives. and that you have a purpose and a plan for our being here. And we're not to look upon this with indifference or coldness, but we're to realize how important it is for us to be properly related to the one who's made this great change in our lives, this change of salvation. Father, there may be those hearing this voice tonight who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that they will understand that when God loved, He loved the world. And that when Christ died, He died for everyone. And that's the reason why the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Simply tells us that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. That's the reason why Jesus said, "I'm the way." He didn't say, "I'm one of the ways." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me." We're thankful that Jesus is the way, that we've accepted Him. He's accepted us. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We pray that there will be many tonight who have yet not done so, will do so now, and have the assurance that heaven is their eternal home. Thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.